So today we are talking about prayer, and I wanted to start off by asking you some questions about that. You know, if you can think about it, what was the earliest prayer that you learned as a kid? You know, many of us have different ones. What did you learn as a kid? Talking about productive prayer, and I can't think about productive prayer without thinking about cows. But, you know, what did you learn as a kid? I think the first prayer that I ever learned was, Herr Zaga Deses Speis, Amen. And that just means, Lord bless this food, amen. And then you could eat. It was a prayer before meals. And then there's a prayer that my grandparents insisted that I learn at bedtime. I was taught an old prayer, and maybe some of you've learned it too. And it's kind of, it goes like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. It's kind of a scary prayer. A few of you, I can tell, have learned that one too. And, you know, many nights I couldn't fall asleep because I thought, well, what if I do die, you know? And I would worry about dying. And then I had to learn the Lord's Prayer, of course. So I got a little older. That's the Our Father if you were raised Catholic. And I had to learn it in the old King James Version, the language of Shakespeare. And, well, that was kind of interesting, too. I grew up thinking that God's name was Art. You know, Our Father who art in heaven. And I thought that. But my view of prayer has changed tremendously over the years. During my stint at ORU, they practiced the Word of Faith movement that taught if you believe it strongly enough, you'll get it. Anything can happen if you just have enough faith, and it helps if you donated money to Oral Roberts. But that was the gist of it. If you have strong enough faith, it'll happen. It doesn't work. But for them, it seemed like there were folks that were bent on telling God what to give them and what to do for them. It was like, okay, God is this genie that we rub in a bottle and he pops out and gives us three wishes if we have enough faith. Just didn't work. Now, that's not the Reformed view. We believe that God is all-wise and all-knowing, and he doesn't need our advice on how to run the universe. We believe mostly that if something needs to happen, he's going to make it happen, whether we pray or not, because he knows what's best, and he has a plan for the universe, and he will execute that plan. But the best part of all this is that he has some leeway in there. He's got some freedom in there. He gives us the dignity of having some free play in what he wants done so that we can make choices and have the dignity of helping him to make things happen. We have choices that we can make on how things happen. Now, the best way that I can explain this is with Apple Maps. I punched in there my daughter's address in Minneapolis, and that's not a political statement, it's just a map. But if you look at it, it gives you three different ways to get to Minneapolis. You can take 94 through downtown Chicago, or you can take 294 and go through the suburbs of Chicago, or you can even mess around and go through Iowa if you want to get up there. And you have that choice. Now, the destination is the same, but you have a choice. You have two or three different options you can choose to get there. I believe it's the same thing with prayer. Okay, there's some free play in there. God gives us a choice of how to do things, and when we pray, he sometimes changes the course of history just because he wants to let us have a say in things. It's kind of a cool thing. Now, C.S. Lewis was one of my favorite writers through all of my life. He talks about two levels of prayer. If you want to read his essay on work and prayer, it's really good. I recommend it for everybody to read it. But he talks about a lower level of prayer. And that lower level of prayer is when we ask God to feed us, you know, or to give us certain things. I was thinking about that. I completed this thing on Friday, this presentation I'm making now. And yesterday I sat in a chair in my office and it collapsed. And what do you do to get a... I took it apart. I couldn't... It was shot. And I thought, now, where do you get an office chair in Muskegon at 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon? And I thought, well, I'm just going to have to wait. But Sam's Club had one. But I had to put it together myself. And I had choices on how to do that. Did I pray about my chair? Yes, I did. I almost came here and got this one. But, you know, I had a choice of, did I want a Lazy Boy or did I want some off-brand or whatever? You know, God does give us those choices. And in the lower level of prayer, we ask for things like office chairs or, you know, getting what kind of tires to buy for your car, or things like that. That's considered the lower level of prayer. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's just because Jesus, you know, told us to pray for everything, great or small. And then he talks about the higher level of prayer. In contrast to that, the higher level of prayer is asking God what he wants. So you sit down to pray or whatever position you want to do, and you ask God how you can be a blessing in his kingdom, how you can work for him. What does he want you to do? How can you be a blessing to God? It's reporting for duty thing, you know. It's like, well, what do you want me to do today? Now, I'd like you to think of times that you've prayed very seriously. I had a roommate in college who bought a brand new Datsun. For those of you who remember Datsuns, that was before they changed the name to Nissan. But he bought one of these Super Bees or Honey Bees or something. It was a miserable little car. You couldn't put an adult in the back seat, but it looked kind of cool. And one night he was out and he was drinking. And he had two cases of beer in the back seat of that car. And he was drinking one, and he got pulled over. And the cream of the cake was that he was also underage. So this cop, you know, is going through his car and different things. And he said that was some really sincere praying that he did in the back seat of that cop car. Now, I've heard that from a deputy that I used to run around with some in Alexander, and I'd ride with him at night, and he said that some of the most sincere praying people who are not religious get very religious in the backseat of his cruiser. It's amazing how that works. But anyway, so my roommate, his name was Tim, he got pulled over, and it was a Friday night. And so the cop says, you know, you're going to have to go to jail. And you can't get out until Monday morning when the judge comes in. So you're going to be spending the weekend in jail. And he was praying hard and hard. And I guess the cop felt sorry for him and let him off with a warning, which he didn't have to do at all. And I got to hear that story when he came in that night. And I had to have a few chuckles over it because the way he described it was quite comical. But he did pray hard, and The cop did let him off with just a pretty serious warning. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a situation like that, or maybe something more serious, like finding out your spouse has cancer. That's pretty serious. So you pray for healing, of course, but then you include the treatment. You pray for healing, you don't turn down the treatment because you say, well, God's going to take care of this. It's all in the Lord's hands. Yeah, but it's in your hands too. So you do both. You push for both. Productive prayer includes work. I had an internship in southern Idaho one summer doing a church plant in an area that's 80% Mormon. And it was really quite interesting. That church is still going. It's New Life Reformed of Wendell, Idaho. And it was all dairy farmers. This old girl was a common sight around there, as the dairies were usually between 5,000 and 10,000 cows, and they had crews milking them. Kraft put up a cheese plant there just because of all the dairying that was going on. Now, this one old boy told me, he said, every day I pray for my cows. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. He said, no, I pray that they'll have a good yield of milk. He said, I pray every day for that. But you know, those cows will not milk themselves. You still have to do the work with it. And that has stuck with me all these years. A prayer that is answered usually involves our efforts too. You can't get around that. Now today we're going to look at a passage as we're going through the Gospel of John that talks about that. A passage that teaches us some things about prayer. This is a continuation of chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. Now remember Jesus, we left him in Jerusalem. Now he went back, last week he was on his way to Galilee. He stopped in Samaria and talked to the woman at the well. Now he's back in Galilee, which is north of Judah. And this is how the story goes. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus knew well from experience that a prophet is not respected in the place where he grew up. So when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, but only because they were impressed with what he had done in Jerusalem during the Passover feast. Not that they really had a clue about who he was or what he was up to. See, when he was in Jerusalem, you know, that's where he chased all the crooks out of the temple. And the word had evidently gotten back to Galilee before he did. Now, John doesn't tell us anything else that happened during that particular stay, that particular visit to Jerusalem, other than the return trip through Samaria. But it's roughly 3 days on foot to do that. So the narrative picks up from there, and it goes like this. Now he's back in Cana of Galilee, the place where he made the water into wine. Meanwhile, in Capernaum, another town in Galilee, there was a certain official from the king's court whose son was sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and asked that he come down and heal his son who was on the brink of death. Jesus put him off. Unless you people are dazzled by a miracle, you refuse to believe. Jesus had made a name for himself with the wine thing. You know, he openly disrespected Jewish religion tradition. You know, they had their big cans of holy water, and he turned it into wine. I explained to you the Dutch word for that is spotten. It's when you profane something that other people perceive as sacred. So he was probably viewed as some kind of a rabble-rouser. You know, Jesus came from working class. his father was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. So, he wasn't a big shot. But this big shot from the king's court comes to see him, which was probably a big deal. This guy's working for the Romans. You know, Herod was king, and Herod was half Jewish and half Greek, and he was a total kiss up to Caesar. And so this big shot comes to see this lowly carpenter. And he says, come heal my son. That's a prayer. You talk to Jesus, it's a prayer. And Jesus put him off. He said, now unless you're dazzled, I won't believe. Similar to modern cynics. But the court official wouldn't be put off. Come down, it's life or death for my son. See, he didn't give up. He persisted in his prayer. And then Jesus simply replied, go home, your son lives. He's told to accompany his prayer with action. The man believed the bare word Jesus spoke and headed home. On his way back, his servants intercepted him and announced, your son lives. See, he obeyed Jesus. Now, he outranked Jesus according to their social status of that time and that place, but he obeyed Jesus. And it says here, his slaves came out to greet him. The Greek word is doulos for the slave. It means somebody that's owned by somebody else. They came and told him that his son lives. He got the news that his son lives. And I just wonder if he believed his ears at first. That's just a curiosity that I have. So he asked them what time he began to get better. And they said, the fever broke yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. The father knew that that was the very moment Jesus had said, your son lives. That's pretty amazing. Now, is that a coincidence? Is it a holy coincidence? Is it a miracle? But here's how it worked. He asked Jesus for the healing. He got no response. Then he asked again. And Jesus told him to go home. His son was healed. He obeyed, and he found out that it worked. I think the application to this is pretty obvious. You know, you want to have productive prayer. Productive prayer involves asking. And then you work with God to make it happen. He gives us the dignity of helping to solve our own problems. You know, I usually go on Facebook on Sunday afternoons when I post the video. And greetings to the video audience, by the way. But I notice on Facebook people have different calamities in their lives. And there's always about 20 responses to that stuff saying thoughts and prayers. Which is good, of course. But those prayers need to be accompanied by action. It's why I pray for politicians of late. I figure maybe I can't change anything, but I can ask people to pray for them and hopefully do something about our current situations. James, in the letter of James in the New Testament, he says this, that settled it. This is the end of the story. Not only he, but his entire household believed. This was now the second sign Jesus gave after having come from Judea into Galilee. But anyway, everybody in his household believed that would have meant including the slaves. Now, back to James. You know, we can pray all we want, but we have to accompany those prayers with action. And this is what James says. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's very clear on that. It'd be like if I wanted to walk home now, 3/4 of a mile to my house. It's cold outside. Well, I can pray for warmth, but I'd be a complete moron if I didn't put a coat on. You know, you have to work with God on those things. I'm not going to walk home. I've got a car here. But here's what I want. I want you people, I want everybody to pray all the time. That's a given. But I also want people to work at helping God answer prayers. You know, kids that don't get fed on weekends, we can pray all we want for them. But we're actually doing something about it by giving them food. See, in that way we work, we coordinate our efforts with God. I have written on the cover of this notebook a statement, this statement here, that says, instead of whining to God about all of our problems, ask him how you can help him solve his. Now, instead of asking God to give you a good day, ask him how you can make his day better. Now, I think that's just an important way to pray. Remember, you can pray all you want, but the cows won't milk themselves, no matter how hard you pray. And when you do this, your prayers become effective. Most of us are working anyway to make things happen in our lives. But if you add serious prayer to the mix, the direction of the work might change. Your work will probably be more effective. Here's what it really blew me away as I was thinking about this last week. Is, you know, this official made this trip to Jesus. It was pretty good, pretty hefty walk. I'm sure he was on a horse because the wealthy people had horses in those days. He made this trip to see Jesus. He did what Jesus told him to do, and he saw results. Now, the results were not what he expected. He expected Jesus to come to his house. And no doubt he felt humiliated that Jesus wouldn't do that. But he did it, and his son recovered. Now, I wondered what would have happened if he hadn't gone to Jesus, if he hadn't engaged the prayer of that thing. What would have happened? Well, I think we all know the answer to that. Now, my hope for all of you is that you'll consider this story and pray more, and then work to bring about God's answer to your prayers, because then you'll be blessed for it. And as I've said 1,000 times in this room, let's pray together. Lord, I'm hoping that we've gotten some clarity from you on this passage, that each of us will make a resolution in our lives to pray more, and that we will work hard to make the answers to those prayers come about. We offer ourselves to you to help you answer the prayers of other people and to help answer our own prayers. So show us how to do that. Send your Holy Spirit into each of our lives and guide us, direct us, and show us how we can increase our own productivity in our prayers by following this teaching. Amen.